When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes.
Illustrious.
Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said. You in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And pat me trust. It's about have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on Five Reasons Sports. We got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. But we've got a couple of friends and fellow members of the Five Reasons Sports Network here today. The best Dolphins podcast out there. I think most of you know that already. We've tried to mirror some of the things we do at Five on the Floor after what they do, including our Off the Floor feed on Discord. They, of course, have OnlyFins, much more creative than ours, more members than ours. We need to pick it up here on the Heat side. We got Alfredo Arteaga. You can follow him at Alf_Arteaga. And again, at 3 yards per carry. He runs that account most of the time. And also Chris Kaufman. You can follow him at CK Parrot. And actually, CK was up in Tampa in the Dolphins' last preseason game. Alfredo has been covering the Dolphins in training camp throughout. So again, recommendation, check out 3 yards per carry, download it from all the same places that you download Five on the Floor. We're going to do a little crossover episode here. The Dolphins, as we speak, are about 10 days away from starting. They just had final cuts. And I guess before we start to get into some of the comparisons with the Heat, Alf, I feel like the Dolphin fans are in this weird place right now where they've been encouraged by certain things that they've seen over the course of the Mike McDaniel era. They personally like him, most personally like Tua. They like the offensive style that this team has, which is contrary to pretty much every Dolphin team since Marino. And but they're scared right now. Like, I don't get a sense that they're confident necessarily in what's been put together, because maybe the offensive line, because maybe the fact they haven't won a playoff game since December 30th, 2000, and so you don't want to get too ahead of yourselves. Where do you think the Dolphin fan is right now? Because the Heat fans are freaked out. The Heat fans are unhappy, don't like the offseason, think they didn't do anything. The Dolphins haven't had a problem with not doing anything. They went out and got Jalen Ramsey. They went out and got Tyreek Hill. Like, the best players on the market they could get. Chris Kerr's going to get them, but they still don't have a playoff win. So where are they?
They're in this weird, I wouldn't call it limbo. They're in this ascension. The only thing is that their ascension has to go and smack head up right against the best team we've seen in the last 10 years, maybe, which is these Kansas City Chiefs, who now win on defense while having the best quarterback in football. So they're smacking up against that, and they're creating, most fans at least, they're creating this lower expectation of just winning a playoff game, when this roster is actually built to try to win a Super Bowl. So my expectations are a little bit different. They have this build that has about 2 or 3 years max in it, and they got to win a Lombardi in this time period. If not, all of that money, all of this expenditures, all everything that they've done to get to this point is probably a failure. But Dolphin fans are different from Heat fans. Heat fans are essentially going to pieces 24/7, even when they're making the finals, right? Dolphin fans are going to pieces 24/7 until they win 2 or 3 games. Then they're cocky Dolphin fans. Then they lose one game and they go to pieces right again. So yeah, they're very, very different fan bases. One is spoiled, yeah, and the other one is trying to get spoiled.
Well, Pat Riley has called them spoiled. And I also want to be clear here. Both CK and Alf are big Heat fans.
And I'm a customer. I own season tickets. So
Right, and Greg is a big Dolphin fan. I have to stay impartial, but I've covered both teams over the years. And, you know, it's a long way from winning a damn playoff game to Lombardi or bust, Alf. So, CK, I'll go to you on this. It does feel like there's more positive feeling about the team, maybe just because McDaniel's likable and interesting and – he's not Adam Gase, he's not Joe Philbin, he's not any of the cast of characters, Cam Cameron, that they've had. But I mean, is this kind of the show me the money year for them?
Well, I think it's odd that, you know, the more things are different, the more they kind of actually look a little bit of the same to me with the Heat and the Dolphins. And I'll say this just because I think they are in similar spots. But the problem is that the Heat fan and the Heat experience is not like the NFL. It is a very different game. It's a very different management of your roster. And it's all about, you know, what big whales are you going to hook this season, you know, to get you over the top and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, I'm looking at the Heat and I'm just like, oh, they have a good team. They get to the playoffs. They might do some damage if they stay healthy. And they're also building through the draft and trying to get, you know, a guy like Khalil Ware who, you know, can develop, and then you develop enough of those guys, and then that puts you over the top someday. You know, that's NFL thinking. That's definitely the way it is in the NFL. The way the Miami Dolphins are operating. Is, you know, hey, we're putting together a good team and we're getting some talent, but, you know, you build through the draft and you just keep trying to develop your talent, and then you hit on enough of those. You hit on a Chop Robinson this year, and you hit on, you know, you maybe get some lucky on some UDFA or something like that. You know, before you know it, you're competing for that championship. Well, that's not the NBA mindset. That, in my perception, anyway, that's not the Miami Heat mindset, the NBA mindset. And so when I see something similar, I'm like a little less alarmed than the average Heat fan, but the Heat fans are going crazy. So I think that on the Dolphins side, you know, is it a show me year? I think that we're, you know, I was having a discussion about this with somebody, and it's kind of a weird thing. Like, yes, you could consider it to be a show me year in as much as we still haven't won that playoff game for the first time since Bill Clinton was in office. So, you know, and I think that, yes, that is the focus. And if you look at the team and listen to them and everything that they're messaging, you know, Mike McDaniel has the exact number of years in mind always since the last playoff win. And he's putting that number everywhere. And, you know, he'll have meetings like 24 past the hour or whatever it is, you know. And so they are definitely of a singular mindset to get that playoff win. And I think because of that, because they set that, then yes, you can grade them. You can judge them off of that. Get that first playoff win since God knows, and make that happen. But as for the championship, you know, yes, this might be the best quarterback that I've ever seen play. And I've seen some good ones. And Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, and they've got a strong defense. That was supposed to be their down year last year. They won the Super Bowl anyway. You know, beat the pants off us in their own house in that sub-zero degree weather. You know, it's like running into a brick wall. You just don't get past that. And so I do kind of understand the lack of playoff wins from the Dolphins the last 2 years. But because they set that goal, because they're obsessed with it, then that's our cue. Okay, this is how we judge them, because that's how they're going to judge themselves. So, yeah, we'll judge them off that playoff win or not.
So a couple of things I want to mention. Your first thing, for those who don't know, CK, like, identified Patrick Mahomes. And not that you're the only person, but you were way ahead of pretty much everybody in terms of projecting Mahomes to be a star. And again, not everybody expected it, or he would have been drafted first, which he was not. So, you know, I want to make that clear. Also, you mentioned Kansas City. I mean, they've loaded up in receiver now, which was their biggest problem. And they kind of look
scarier.
Right. And when we go to rapid fire, we're going to get into things like Chiefs or Celtics, that kind of stuff. We'll go, you know, we'll do a little rapid fire as we go forward, like who's the more difficult challenge to get through right now. But, Greg, we've done this topic, this Pat Riley winning or misery topic, and actually that probably got better response than any other podcast we've done this offseason. And, you know, we both were kind of evaluating whether Pat has not gotten soft, but a little bit more sentimental, at least up until the Jimmy, him calling out Jimmy Butler, and not sort of cutting bait with players quite as soon, not trading everybody to get the whale. I mean, is it fair to say, I know they're different sports, but is it fair to say that Chris Greer is more Pat Riley than Pat Riley is these days?
Maybe lately, because of all the big names that have came in and high level talent. Like, I think both sports are consumed by the transaction generally, and the Dolphins have executed more transactions recently than the Miami Heat, no doubt. It's, you know, that this, when I really think back, this is interesting for me. I became a Heat fan in 91 and found the Dolphins around 92, and back then it was put to me that the Heat were like this little engine that could, that was trying to get off the kind of get off the ground, and the Dolphins were the storied franchise that you could rely on for winning, and that you would always have a chance with them. And it's funny how things have evolved over time. But now it's interesting to see how the fans react to all of this. For me, it's kind of evolved into a situation where I always give the Heat the benefit of the doubt, even if they haven't made the moves recently and things like that, where I'm less apt to do so with the Dolphins because heartbreak has happened in perpetuity since I became a fan. You know, like the Bills beat the Heat or beat the Dolphins in that AFC championship game. That was the first game I ever went to. I think that's 93. And it's been downhill since for the most part. Whereas the Heat, it's been an ascension and the storied franchise and stuff. So I think that what's happening now is it's less that Pat Riley is not himself, or that Chris Greer is a superior team builder necessarily. I think this is more of that you're starting to see the pendulum swing, where the benefit of the doubt used to always go to the Heat. And I think maybe for me it still does, but I think less so for the casual fan. And they're starting to look at the Dolphins roster, particularly the skill positions, and they're saying, this team looks fun and it looks exciting and it looks like it could do damage. So I think that's just what maybe has people thinking that Chris Greer has moved into the Pat Riley realm of kind of the big fish and things like that, and making big swings and taking those risks.
And I want to say this too. First thing, the Panthers are the defending champions here. Like, they, so I mean, they may not have the fan base that these other two teams have, but they've executed best lately. It's just that simple. Bill Zito has been better than Pat Riley or Chris Greer of late. I mean, it's hard to find a move that Zito's made that hasn't worked. But I want to get to something on this, Alfredo. I mean, because I know you're a big Riley fan. And he changed this market quite a bit. I mean, when he came in, I credit him more than anything with making basketball matter in this town. That, to me, that's his legacy. I've also made the case that more so than even the players he's brought in, it's been the way that he's elevated guys like Eric Spoelstra and Andy Ellisberg from places like the video room and the PR department, the media relations department, to being the best at their respective jobs in the entire NBA. And has done something similar with Adam Simon now, actually, who is as good as anybody they have in the organization. But what's interesting to me is that, so there was this shift, right? Like, Riley comes in, Jimmy Johnson comes in, Shula leaves. They're both on the cover of Sports Illustrated. The Pat thing worked out. The Jimmy thing really didn't work out, with the exception of drafting some really good players in the first couple of years. And it has gone two separate directions since. And I also feel like the Heat fan and the Dolphin fan, to talk about fans, because I know you're fans of both, like, they don't cross over that much. Like, you would think in this town, but there's been this kind of weird rivalry between the fans. Dolphin fans, and maybe I'm wrong about this, they tend to be a little bit more conservative, a little less diverse. Like, Heat fan, and Heat fans are younger, typically, because they've seen winning recently. And Dwayne Wade took over this town, and, you know, may have passed Marino. We can have a conversation about that before the end of this episode. But Where do you, like, how much crossover is there between the two teams in your view? Because I know you interact with both of them, but it feels like a rivalry more than that. And Steve Ross has fed into that. Like, when LeBron left, like, they're not, you know, the comments he made about the Heat, like, there seemed to always be a jealousy thing with Ross towards the Heat. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're very, very different. If we take South Florida as a whole, maybe 50% are like dual fans and the other 50% are not. And I have this own experience in my life. Pre-Riley, me and my friends used to go to Heat games because it was just a thing to do. We would go to the basketball game, usually to see the other team. Usually when the Bulls are in town, we would save up, buy tickets to see Jordan, to see Pippen, to see that crew. And all of those guys were my friends, and they were not Dolphin fans. They're from the Northeast, or they were from out West, and they were Cowboy fans, and they were Giant fans, and they were Jet fans, and Bills fans. They were not Dolphin fans, but they were basketball fans because that's what they watched in the winter. And if you're from California, like one of my best friends is from California, if you were not a Laker fan, you were just not alive. You were just not a sports fan. Because in LA for a good 30 years, nobody cared about any other sport but the Dodgers and the Lakers. That's it. No, they didn't care about the Rams. They didn't even care about the Raiders when they were in town. So all of that segmentation was happening at that time. Then Riley gets here, and now it's not a cute little thing to go watch other teams. Now we're being told, yeah, we're going to try to win a championship here. And when Pat Riley comes in, and at the time he had 6 rings, I believe, right? At that time, yeah, 5 with the Lakers, 1 as a player. When he comes in and he says, oh, I envision a parade down Biscayne Boulevard, you start having those visions dancing in your head. And lo and behold, a year later, they're actually a contender. 2 years later, they won 61 games. So, you know, he completely, and I really do believe this in sports because I think it's important, and this is something that Mike McDaniel has pulled off successfully. And it's a reason why I like Mike McDaniel. It's big in sports to come in promising things because every coach does it. Every coach comes in and says, I'm promising you this. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we're going to do the other thing. Pat Riley came in and said, we're going to play for championships. And immediately he had kind of a championship team. In my opinion, you know, and nobody's going to tell me any different, if the Bulls don't exist, they probably win one. That Heat build of Timmy and Zoe and later Mash, I think they win one if those guys are not around. And then, of course, later on, the Knicks.
If the Knicks. You know?
But that 61 team, that 61 win team smacked up right up against the 72 win Bulls team. You know?
Is it fair to say, though, because I want to follow in, and CK, you or Alfredo can jump in on this. I mean, the Heat have won 3. We've talked about them being fans being spoiled, okay? I mean, not literally in this build, okay, which everybody's complaining about. They've been to the finals twice, and they were within a Jimmy missed shot, okay, a missed 3 of being in the finals 3 times in 5 years. And everybody's disappointed by this. The build was a failure, I hear, all the rest of this. I mean, I understand the idea of not cashing in on, and we can talk about what happened with Dame and others. We talk about it all the time. But it's just like, it's just weird to me. Like, how, I mean, the Dolphins, like, what build have the Dolphins had that has not ultimately been a failure until this one is sort of open ended since Shula?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's where I'm getting at with Mike McDaniel. He comes in promising an exciting offense, a competent offense, and with his quarterback, he produces the number 2 offense, and then he produces the number 1 offense last year. So in sports, it's kind of big when general managers and head coaches promise things and they actually deliver. And Pat Riley is the ultimate, I don't even know if this is a word, deliverer, okay? Like, he came in talking a big game, and my God, did he produce a big game. They're the fourth most winningest franchise since he arrived in the NBA. Uh-huh. You know? Mm-hmm. And if you count playoff wins, they're 3rd. That's pretty damn good.
CK, jump in.
The dissatisfaction level stays the same. regardless of where your team is with the fans. I mean, because, you know, the fans, the Dolphins fans were dissatisfied, of course, when we're stuck in some doldrums of absolutely not winning consistently, not putting together winning seasons, you know, whatever. And now that we've, you know, put together, we won 19 games in the last 2 years under Flores, and then 20 games the last 2 years with McDaniel, been to the playoffs twice in a row. This is an unqualified, you know, more successful team than we saw, you know, a number of years ago. But the dissatisfaction level stays the same. And if we were more successful in getting to the AFC championships or even the Super Bowl, the dissatisfaction level would stay the same. You know, it would then be, you know, until you get that actual championship. And so what I see in the Heat, I think it might be different if they actually got, you know, the finals that they've been to, and that is incredible to me. I'm watching it as a football fan, and I'm like, God, y'all are spoiled, you know, like, but had they won one, I think things could have been different, or one or both or so. But otherwise, you know, it just stays the same. They find, everybody's going to find things to be unhappy about.
Right. So after the break, we're going to do rapid fire. I'm not giving you guys time to think. We're going to go around.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Around the panel here, and we're gonna have a bunch of kind of multiple choice questions we're gonna have for you guys. Before we do, want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Better Edge. Football season is coming up. That's why we're doing this episode. You can go to Better Edge and you can bet without VIG. What does that mean? First thing, you bet legally in the state of Florida, but the other book that everybody talks about, you got to give them money. That's the VIG. You don't have to with Better Edge. Also, you can find the line that you want because it's a betting marketplace, okay? Legal in 45 states. They've got an integrated social platform. We run our contests on there. We're going to be running an NFL contest and a Dolphins contest coming up before week one. But also, make sure that you just go on there and check out what they've got in terms of lines. So 5RSN is the code. That's the number 5RSN. You get $20 to play right away. All right, I'm going to go to Greg first on this. Bigger star in this town right now, Tua Tagovailoa or Jimmy Butler?
Whoa. I'm going to say, for now, Jimmy Butler.
We're going to do rapid fire, but I just Alf and CK, yes or no?
Tua is a bigger star right now than Jimmy, but that's because Jimmy doesn't want to be a star.
It's fair.
I think Tua, just because the fresh new contract, and Jimmy is a little bit more on, let's just say, on the roller coaster. It's a little bit more on this side of it.
Way down.
Feels like. Yeah.
It's a good point. In this moment in time, you guys are probably right. I guess I'm thinking I'm blinded by the fact that they've had the runs that they've had and he's been so productive in those runs. But to your point, in this exact moment on August 28th, 2024, you might be right. Tua may be a little higher in that pecking order.
Ralph, who's more polarizing to South Florida fans, Tua Tagovailoa or Tyler Hero?
Oh, Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero, because there's some evidence to suggest that the Tua thing is maybe like 15% of a very vocal, very, very vocal minority. I think the Tyler Hero thing is just 50-50. I think it's half the fans hate him, the other half defend him.
Can we include everybody outside of Miami in this, though?
Yeah, like, if it's outside of Miami, it's Tua. It's Tua. All right, I'll go to you. Well, I should go to Greg on this one, but I'll start with CK, then Greg can answer. Who made a bigger contribution to South Florida sports, Don Shula or Pat Riley, CK?
Oh, God. Which age demographic? You know, because it's all age demos. If you're boomer, plus, then Don Shula. If you're less than that, then Pat Riley, 100%.
Greg, you're going with Riley, right?
Of course, that's my brand through and through, and you know, I could say nothing other than the Godfather in this scenario. Although, shout out to Don Shula, because those were great years too.
Alf, I'm going to let you tie break this because I know your feelings for Riley. Mm-hmm. So, which is it?
Well, Don Shula created sports in this town. Pat Riley saved basketball in this town. Basketball exists because of Pat Riley. So it's close, but it has to be Shula. There are no sports here in Miami if it wasn't for Shula.
Okay, that's fair. We'll go there. Better owner, CK. Steve Ross or Mickey Arison?
You know, I'm going to be eaten alive for saying this, but I am going to say Steve Ross. And I think that what you see from the NFLPA on the grades, on the whole the training staff, the locker room, just the overall amenities and treatment of the players and facilities I think that's a lot of proof there. Whereas, you know, the Heat success that way, the Heat culture, who is that? Yeah. That's not Mickey.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he contributed to it. I want to be fair here. First thing, he's not running day-to-day anymore. Nick is. But he brought in Pat, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was to get the hell out of the way.
Right. And so there's something to be said for that. I know people are going to talk about spending. I mean, the Heat are top 10 in salary. Again, they just don't want to go into the second apron. You know, the Dolphins have spent. I mean, that's the thing with Ross. He's spent. It's just sometimes he hasn't spent particularly wisely. Over the years, you know, as we know from a lot of coaches and quarterbacks and other decisions that they've made over time. Alf, who is the most likable player among the two teams?
The most likable player among the two teams, and by the way, I think Stephen Ross is the better owner because Mickey Arison has to fix that scoreboard.
I think they are this year, though.
They're going to change the scoreboard actually. Finally.
Yes. Tim Reynolds reported that a ways
back. Change your vote now?
Okay.
Does that change it?
Okay, yeah. Okay, that changes it. If Mickey Arison's going to update, if he's going to update the arena, I'm back with Mickey Arison again.
We got to give a little credit to Mickey because he did hire certain people that have remained long-tenured individuals within the organization, whereas Stephen Ross has had to make a hell of a lot more hires. Yeah. Anyway, I digress.
No, that's true. And he has paid them to stay. Better in I'll.
Well, you asked me the most likable player on both teams.
Yeah,
I think it's Bam Adebayo.
That's what I was going to say. Right? Is that a fair?
Yeah, and he has this man of the people thing going that Jimmy doesn't want to do, and that's why Jimmy's not a bigger star than Tua. Like, if you hate people, you can't be the bigger star. You know what I mean?
Well, he likes people. He likes people when they come to their coffee pop ups. Right. Like that, right. He does. Yeah. He likes that. To me, this is a given. Tyreek Hill is the most exciting player in South Florida sports right now. CK, is that fair?
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. I'll even say as the resident Heat homer.
Yeah, well, you know what's interesting? We're talking about the Heat and the Dolphins, and they have flipped a little bit here where the Heat, you know, the Big Three era was this exciting and all the rest of this, and they played, let's be honest, a boring brand of basketball here over the past couple of years. I mean, you know, they struggled to get to 103, whereas mm-hmm. the Dolphins might score 103.5, mm-hmm. you know, at times when things are clicking with them. So that's a totally different deal.
For the Dolphins, that part of they have to resuscitate the excitement of the fan base. I mean, the negativity has always been mm-hmm. there. And as I was saying before, the negativity just kind of always stays the same, regardless mm-hmm. of what the team is doing. But the excitement level is what, you know, it was not there for obvious reasons for a long time. They needed to inject that excitement level. So that just meant offense, get offense going. And that's, so that's the Heat clearly don't do that. Their program is still very defense oriented.
If you had a choice, Greg, of spending an hour with Mike McDaniel or Eric Spoelstra, who are you choosing? And each other quite a bit, by the way. That's the connection. They like each other a lot. I talked to Spo about him 2 years ago when he came in. There's a lot of shared sensibilities between the two of them, actually. Mm. Who would you take for an hour?
I'm actually going to chill with Mike McDaniel. I think that he seems like the type of individual that maybe more of a conversation starter than Spoelstra in certain ways. Just in my few interactions with Eric Spoelstra in the press room, he can be a tough customer at times. And Mike McDaniel seems like he's just a little bit more laid back, more chill. So I'm going to go with him. I think people probably didn't expect that, but that's who I'm going with to spend an hour in conversation for sure.
I would too, to be honest, as much as I like Spo. I feel like Spo would walk away after 6 minutes, honestly. Right? He'd do that thing where he just jets off, doesn't want to deal with it anymore. All right, I'll go to you on this, CK. Who's going to be here longer and has the better future? Jaime Jaquez Jr. or Jalen Waddle?
Oh, Jaime Jaquez. Yeah,
you're just a big Hawkins guy, right?
Yeah. And this is nothing against Jalen Waddle. It's just that I know that the NFL is very topsy turvy, and so yeah, he does have this new contract. But can I guarantee that he's going to be there after this contract, or that you know you're in some situation where hey, let's monetize him right now or something like the NFL's weird like that, and I know that the NBA can be transactional as well, but Jaime Jaquez isn't that kind of transactional player to me, if that makes sense. You know, he sort of like seems like he's drawn up to be the guy that is part of your team for 12 years and helps you transition from one build to another build and then to the next build after that and stuff like that. And just like, you know, one day are you gonna think of him like you do UD or something like that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't have the same, you know, attitude or, you know, the authority obviously that he does, but I think that he could be there for so long.
Yeah, no, he does. He fits any type of style, and I think we've been too negative on his upside simply because he came out older, and I think what we saw in summer league is he's going to pop this year. All right, two more questions here. We'll go around with all this. We appreciate the guys from 3 Yards Per Carry. Also, Simon Clancy. If I don't mention him, he'll get upset. You can follow him at SI Clancy, part of the 3 Yards Per Carry team. Dolphins are not a 3 Yards Per Carry team anymore. You guys came up with that when, what, Daniel Thomas was the running back? Now it's like Devon Achane gets 3 yards before he's touched.
Now it's defense. Now it's defense.
They're allowing three yards. We'll see with that defensive tackle rotation if that ends up working out. All right, let's. We have two more questions here. This is the big one. Wade or Marino? Alf.
Wade, and nothing to slight Marino. Marino's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but Dwayne Wade is one of the greatest two guards of all time. And in my opinion, number two. But he has the ring. And he doesn't have only one ring. He facilitated getting the other two. So, yeah. Dwayne Wade.
I have to give the edge to Dwayne Wade on this one. And I don't want to be – I don't. the last thing as a Marino fan that I want to ever do is bring up the championship thing, right? Because like that, you know, it's such a sore subject. But it, with Wade, not only did he win the one, but like Alf just said, he was architect of the team that pulled together the big three and went to those four championships in a row.
Can I sneak in a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you all think the value of a championship? The Dolphins win one. The Heat have three, right? Like, is it true that if the Dolphins were to win the Super Bowl this year, it would basically mean more, and I'm using air quotes for those on the audio only part of this, that it would mean more to South Florida to get one as the Dolphins organization that it's been so long compared to Miami? I'm interested for everyone's perspective there.
I would say yes, but not in the context of the way like haters and Twitter trolls use that. And like, remember when the one Cleveland title was going to be worth more than the two Heat titles? Not in that context. It's in the context of a Super Bowl win is like a get out of jail free card for pretty much forever, right? Mike Tomlin is a really, really good coach, but I don't think he's gotten past 9 wins in like 6 years, and he's still around, and everybody still thinks he's a great coach, and he's going nowhere. He has that one Super Bowl. In basketball, it's a little bit different. Like, you could ask a bunch of casuals, hey, did the Bucks win a title? And they'll say, did Giannis win a title? Yeah, Giannis won a title. In basketball, it's about that build. What did it do? Did it win more than one title? Did it win two titles? That's why we talk about the Big Three Heat versus the Golden State Warriors. You know, we compare those eras. We compare those builds. We compare those teams. So basketball, it's about the era. What did that one team do? In football, it's about you got one, get out of jail free forever.
I think that's especially. I think that's especially true if you manage it like without having drafted Patrick Mahomes or having put together Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, or you know, one of the magic keys that open any door any given season. If you don't have that, but you manage to get over that hump and win that championship, then, you know, you're going to live off that for a long time. And especially because you don't happen to have one of the two or three greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Yeah. And if you look at all the debate shows right now, they're debating, are the Chiefs a dynasty? And they've won two in a row. And those same debate shows will tell you that the Big Three Heat were not a dynasty, and they went to four in a row and won two in a row.
Right.
So,
yeah, they were considered a disappointment by many.
Yes.
Simply because they said not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. They were considered a disappointment, making it to four consecutive finals. All right, here's the money question. So, again, we'll go around, and thanks again to CK and to Alf. And check out our sponsors, PrizePicks. Use the code 5BetterEdge. Use the code 5RSN. Which happens first? Heat win another title, or the Dolphins reach a Super Bowl? CK.
History is a good indicator here. The Heat could win another title sooner, I guess I would say, than the Dolphins, because I don't know about this year. I don't know if this is the year. And then as Alf suggested, there is a window aspect of all this to the Dolphins. And that window, you know, once that's closed and they're into retooling, when is that next time? Is it going to be successful that next build? I kind of think that the Heat might have a little bit more legs.
Yeah.
I think that's fair, Dolph.
Yeah, I would say this. If we're just going to narrow it down to this window, I would say the Dolphins. But if you're just going to have it open-ended, the smarter bet is always the Miami Heat.
Greg?
I mean, you know where I'm tempted to go is just say the Heat. But I will say that heading into this specific season – I think Dolphins fans are way more excited for what may happen. There's more hope to traffic than maybe what's going on in Miami. Mm-hmm. So we talk about builds. The other thing that is just kind of looming over the Heat franchise is when Pat Riley will hang it up? And then what does it look like after that? I think that the succession planning with all of the people that are in place probably make it where they'll remain consistent, and some of the same disciplines will also be, you know, live and in color still. But the post Riley era does beg the question of how competitive they'll be. But I've always said, like, my to cope with South Florida fandom for many, many years, it was my saying was always, at least we have the Heat. And so I'm going to bet on the Heat here too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to be the Heat, but I agree with Alf. I think that it does feel like this particular Heat build has run its course, even though I don't think the team that just won the championship in the NBA is as dominant as the team in the NFL, as Kansas City. I don't think the Celtics are at Kansas City's level. Because, again, they don't have the best player. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And then now the Chiefs have addressed their biggest weakness, but they don't have the best player. And when you have the best player, you got a chance to win with just about anything. We just saw that this year. You mentioned Kansas City. That wasn't their best team. Nobody can still beat them.
You're only as good as your weakest link. And the Celtics' weakest link is their best player.
Right.
If you think about it.
No, that's fair.
And Patrick Mahomes is never the weakest link. Well, we just went into a playoff saying, did you know that Patrick Mahomes has never won a road playoff game? Because he had never played in a road playoff game. Mm-hmm. Then he goes out there and he wins two in a row.
Right. It's a different deal. I think Greg mentioned it, though. Like, one of the questions here is, how long is Pat going to still be at the helm? But they have a succession plan that it looks like is in place with Andy, with Spo, with Adam Simon, with others in the organization, that it looks like they're going to be in good hands and they can retool this thing. It may be easier for them to retool around Bam and some of these young players than it is going to be for the Dolphins to retool once the bill comes due on any of this. But I will say this, and then I'll let Alf close if you want to close here. I will say that the big difference in terms of attitude with Heat and Dolphin fans is kind of reflected with what happened with the contract extensions this offseason. Like, we did an episode on that. Tua got his extension. There's stability at that position now. Jimmy didn't get his extension. Their best player, we don't know how much he's going to play, if he's going to be here beyond this year. It's weird to have the Heat in the position where there's uncertainty as opposed to the Dolphins. And I think that's why fans at the Dolphins, at least, okay, we have a quarterback. Not everybody loves him, but we have our quarterback. We've got Tyreek. We changed defensive coordinators. We got a guy who actually wants to be there now. And so there's more positivity, I think, on a relative basis, even though Dolphin fans, are more miserable in general.
I want to say this, Ethan, to that point specifically, your guy that didn't get his extension plays better when he's pissed off because he didn't get the extension than our guy would have played if he didn't get his extension. And I'm that's not a slight at Tua, but he needs to feel supported. It's very important to him. And I think that when he's not, you see that bleed into the field. I think your guy, if he's pissed off about it, he might dominate games and games and games because of it.
I mean, they're counting on contract year Jimmy here. I don't think contract year Tua would have had quite the same ring to it. All right, check out 3 yards per carry, the Twitter account, the Instagram feed, of course, the podcast, OnlyFins, sub to OnlyFins, sub to Off the Floor. We rotate back and forth between both of those. We think we've got the best Dolphins pod here. You guys can tell us if we have the best Heat pod. It hasn't felt like it lately, as we're Anthony Mason 24th, Greg. I don't know about that one. All right. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.